about healing. I found the subject of healing very interesting. From that reading in Isaiah, you can see that in the verses of 6 and 7, you can see that the children of Israel in general, the people were very sick and diseased and unwell. And the land also, God was said, was sick. So both the people and the land needed healing. And in the verses 25 to 27 of Isaiah chapter 1, you can see there God was healing the land and the people. So now I'm going to go right from the beginning. So in the beginning, after Adam and Eve sinned, the process of healing began. And as Yahweh brought the result of sin on mankind, we were made a creature that is unwell and sick. And that only through prolonged treatment and care of His word and love, we can be made well again. There's no cure to this particular disease except the one that God provides. In the following, I'm going to look at the process of healing and what it can mean to us. Most of us will know that and be able to see examples of what disease and sickness will do. If we get a viral infection, say a common cold, we usually get shivers, aching muscles, sore throat, running nose, headache, etc. We usually feel tired and want to rest. While we are doing this, our immune system is busy at work fighting off the virus and making us well again. Our bodies will know the best thing, that thing, but while it fights off the illness, is that we rest, so all our energy can go into destroying the problem. If we ignore it and keep on working and stressing ourselves, we'll become more unwell until we start doing what our body tells us to do. Sicknesses and disease are something God caused to begin when sin came into the world. In God's sight, all of life on the earth and the earth itself is sick and diseased and needs healing or it will die. God needs to heal both us and the earth. So the curse that came on Adam and Eve in the beginning was Genesis 13 verse 14 to 19. I'm sure you're very accustomed to knowing what happened there. But I'll read those verses anyway. Genesis 3 verse 14 to 19. And so Yahweh Elohim said to the serpent, "Because thou hast done this," this is after Eve had transgressed Eden, Eve and Adam, "because thou hast done this, cursed are you above all livestock and of all wild animals. You will crawl on your belly and you will eat dust of the earth all the days of your life. And I will put enmity between you and the woman and between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head and you will strike his heel." To the woman he said, "I will make your pains in childbearing very severe. With pain you will give birth to children. Your desire will be for your husband and he will rule over you." To Adam he said, "Because you listened to your wife and ate from the tree about which I commanded you that you must not eat of it, cursed is the ground because of you. Through painful toil you'll eat of it all the days of your life. It will produce thorns and thistles to you, and you will eat of the plants of the field. By the sweat of your brow you will eat your food until you return to the ground, since from it you are taken, for dust you are, and unto dust you will return." In these few verses there is a lot, pretty much everything in the earth that goes wrong and all the sin and evilness now can be brought into those few verses that with the curse that God brought on us. And a few verses that are associated with this curse from Isaiah, that Isaiah 1 verse 5 and 6. This is from the end, or actually today's NIV that I'm reading these verses from. "Why should you be beaten anymore? Why do you persist in rebellion? Your whole head is injured and your whole heart is afflicted. From the sole of your foot to the top of your head there is no soundness but wounds and welts and open sores, not cleansed nor bandaged nor soothed with oil." I've got another verse here from Nahum 3 verse 19. There is no healing of thy bruise, thy wound is grievous. All that hear thy the news of these shall clap their hands over thee. For upon whom is not thy wickedness passed continually? That's from Nahum 3 verse 19. And that's going to be cured. I've got some verses here that show about the curing. Deuteronomy 32 verse 39. See now that I, even I, am he. This is from Deuteronomy 32 verse 39. And there is no God with me. I kill, I make alive. I wound and I heal. Neither is there any that can deliver out of my hand. So from you see that God is the one and the only one that can heal us. And Hosea 6 verse 1. Come and let us return unto Yahweh, for he hath torn and he'll heal us. He hath smitten and he'll bind us up. Malachi 4 verse 2. But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings, and ye shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall. That was Malachi 4 verse 2. And Isaiah 57 verse 19. I create the fruit of thy lips, peace, peace to him that is afar off and to him that is near, says Yahweh, and I'll heal him. That's Isaiah 57 verse 19. And there's a couple of verses, those you can include in the healing of the earth too, but there's a couple I've got here that I've picked for the healing of the earth. If my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves, this is 2 Chronicles 7 verse 14. If my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face, I'll turn from their wicked ways, I'll hear from heaven and I'll forgive their sin and heal their land. So you can see God, as well as cursing us as like man, he also cursed the land, which says right at the beginning. And God will heal our land if we heal ourselves. And Romans 8 verse 22 and 23. For we know that the whole creation groaned and travailed in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves, which are the first fruits of the Spirit. Even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption to what the redemption of our body. So the whole creation there is groaning. It's not just us, it's everything in the earth along with us. I'm going to have a look at the Lord's example now, mainly from Leviticus 12 to chapters 12 to 15, and have a look at the things that God had in the law that's associated with healing of sickness. The children of Israel had good instructions from the law on what to do during the healing of process if someone became sick. If one did become sick or diseased, there seems to be two specific things here, either leprosy or some sort of discharge, they were treated as unclean. It doesn't seem to be the multitude of other illnesses and things you can get. It doesn't seem to be associated with them. It's just the two, leprosy and a discharge. They remained unclean until they were healed. The person treating them was also made unclean, so they would not contact others while they cared for them, and so this also limited any spread of disease. So Leviticus 13 verse 46, so as long as they had this disease of leprosy, they remained unclean. Leviticus 13 46, and these people must live alone, they must live outside the camp. There would be several very good reasons for that, as well as spiritual, as it would have stopped any spreading of this disease of leprosy. And concerning men and women with these problems, Leviticus 15 verse 7 and Leviticus 15 verse 27. So if anyone had these discharges, they would be bathed in water and they were to remain unclean. Anyone who touches them will be unclean. They must wash their clothes and bathe with water, and they will be unclean until even. And from Leviticus 22, say to them, for the generations to come, if any of your descendants is ceremonially unclean and yet comes near the sacrifice offerings that is Israelites to consecrate to Yahweh, that person shall be cut off from my presence. I am the Lord. So the seriousness of contacting them and then having association with God was, in that particular way, was God was going to cut them off. If a descendant of Aaron has a defiling skin disease or bodily discharge, he may not eat of the sacrifice offerings until he is cleansed. He'll also be unclean if he touches something defiled by a corpse or by anyone whose seed goes from him, or if he touches any crawling thing that has made him unclean, or any person who makes him unclean, whatsoever their uncleanness may be. The one who touches any such thing will be unclean until even. He must not eat of the sacred offering unless he has bathed himself with water. And it appears also that he had to be unclean until even. This law teaches us that we are unclean people. In our daily life, we will become unclean and need healing constantly. The priest's work was to heal the people and to teach them. If someone was sick with a leprosy, they came to the priest and received his attention. If the wound was healed, they were made clean by the priest and allowed back with the people. A priest was a person consecrated to God from the tribe of Levi who wore the linen ephod. And later on, David took up this work as a priest and a king. David taught the people to follow God. 2 Samuel 5 verse 2. In the past, while Saul was king over us, this is 2 Samuel 5 verse 2, you were the one who led Israel in their military campaigns, and the Lord was with you. You will shepherd my people Israel, and you will become their ruler. So as David now took on, he was a king, which Jesus is our king, and he also took on the role of a priest, which Jesus also had a role as a priest. And 2 Samuel 7 verse 23 and 24, who is like to your people, the one nation on earth that God went out to redeem, a people for himself, to make a name for himself and to perform great and awesome wonders by driving out nations, their gods, before your people, whom you redeemed from Egypt. You have established your people Israel forever, and you, Lord, have become their God. So as David was changed the hearts of the nation of Israel to God, so he is working as this person that was helping the Israelites to be healed. And as, for that verse, saying that David was also took on the role of a priest, 2 Samuel 6 verse 14 and 15, the priest wore linen ephod, and David, wearing a linen ephod, was dancing before the Lord with all his might, while he and the entire house of Israel were bringing up the ark of the Lord with shouts and sounds of trumpets. So this David was a type of Christ, both king and priest. I'm going to now look ahead to the new covenant, and things concerning it. We all naturally look for someone. If we are sick, we all naturally will look for something or something to make us better. It is a natural desire to want to return to good health and a feeling of well-being. People go to great lengths to become well again, even to a complete change of lifestyle, diet, and continual medication if it's needed. In Scripture, God heals us with His Word and Spirit, which are belief and obedience. If a correct amount is taken by us each day, we will begin the process of healing and preparation for the kingdom coming. When God heals us from our sinful nature, it is done absorbing his word and obedience to it. The healing power of the word is huge, and if taken continually, will purge all sin and disease from us. Medicine is to be taken at a dose that will have the right effect on us. For example, I've got here, if you take paracetamol, it will take several doses until it reaches the right level in us, and then has to be maintained as long as we want the effect. God's medicine, the word, is to be treated in a similar way, which includes daily reading of the scripture. Often the daily reading of the scripture is described as the food of life. It also can have similarly treated as a medicine, and carefully choosing how we live. If lifestyle changes are necessary, then they must be done and bad habits are to cease. God tells us to look after our bodies as we would the temple of God. 1 Corinthians 3 verse 16 and 17. It's got those well-known verses there that know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and the Spirit of God dwells in you. If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple is holy, which is the temple you are. So as we treat ourselves and our own bodies, so we should be treating them the same as we would be treating the temple of God. If we abuse our bodies, for example, smoking or drinking alcohol excessively, swearing and feeding our minds on the world, many things we can do to abuse ourselves, then we are poisoning ourselves and we create disease that we will die from. In Proverbs, it tells us of an effective way of curing something. In Proverbs 17:22, it says, a cheerful heart is good medicine, but a crushed spirit dries up the bones. So Proverbs 17:22 gives medicine which is cheerfulness. So obviously a godly cheerfulness. So being happy, cheerful and rejoicing about the hope we have coming and the truth will assist us hugely in the walk to the kingdom. As the proverb above explains, is medicine for us to help us get there. So I've got a few verses out here that tell us about how we should be cheerful from various parts of scripture. Leviticus 23:40. On the first day you are to take branches from luxuriant trees, from palms, willows and other leafy trees, and rejoice before the Lord your God for 7 days. So one of the feasts in the time of Israel was particularly about rejoicing. Psalm 5 verse 11. But let all who take refuge in you be glad. Let them sing for joy. Spread your protection over them, that those who love you may rejoice in you. So there's several things out there about being glad, singing for joy, and rejoicing. Matthew 5:12, rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. 2 Corinthians 13:11, finally, brothers and sisters, rejoice. Strive for full restoration, encourage one another, be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and peace be with you. So there's plenty of encouraging things out of that verse. And Zechariah 9 verse 9. Rejoice greatly, daughter of Zion. Shout, daughter of Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you, righteous and having salvation, lowly and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. So Zion was to rejoice. And out of Revelation 9 verse 7, let us rejoice and be glad and give him glory, for the wedding of the Lamb has come and his bride has made herself ready. As we make ourselves ready and acceptable for the marriage to Christ that is coming, pure and right, white, rejoicing in the hope of healing of the earth, the leaves of the tree of life bringing healing to all the nations of the earth. And the leaves of the tree of life coming from Revelation 22 verse 2. So the last verse I've got here, Revelation 22 verse 2, in the midst of the street of it, And on either side of the river was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielding her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. So we're here today to remember the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. He was the perfect of all healers, and many places in the Gospels he showed his miraculous healing powers, and they were described in them. In our growth in the truth, let us put our hearts and minds to his greatness and what we're doing to prepare ourselves now for his coming. So we're here now to remember him and to be healed by his word, and to be healed by fellowshipping with each other, and that we can be all strengthened together in this walk towards his kingdom.